So I might be wrong, but I suspect most of us this past week, experienced what I like to call a shift in priorities. Amen? Yeah, we were going along, life was good, and then something happened. We call that a natural disaster, or Florida. The reality is, when it happened, everything shifted. What we were going to do next, how we were going to do it, everything changed. And in the midst of those moments, we see this. Why do I share that? Well, two reasons. One, I want to reflect on what you saw in the shift just a little bit. And I want to share with you how we should be hearing what Paul is saying to Timothy. See, Paul is in one of those moments of life. In fact, Paul, when he wrote this letter, was in jail in Rome awaiting death. So whenever we read Paul, there's always an urgency, amen? He's like, right now, this has to happen. He's even more so in the second letter to Timothy, his last letter that he wrote, because he is facing the end of this life as we understand it. And it's important to him that Timothy understand that he has to keep moving forward to prioritize that which Paul had prioritized in his life. So with that understanding, we may hear a little differently Paul's words. In his words, he says this. He's pointing out that he has a clear conscience because he has lived his life for Christ, is his reason for that. He's recalling the tears when he last saw Timothy, and he longs to be with him again so that he could have that joy. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. Now, how many of us are at least third generation Christians? So that's a good enough reason, as far as Paul is concerned, for Timothy to continue to be faithful. Be faithful, like your immediate ancestors were faithful as he knew them. He goes, for this reason I remind you, this is verse 6, for this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. This is what you need to rekindle. Get a hold of it. Take on the power that you have given to you through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Live that. And he's not only telling them to live that from jail, where he is facing death. He's telling this to Timothy, who is in Ephesus, leading the church, which is being persecuted heavily. And he's saying to him, live this faith. Live it. Not only live it, but with the spirit of power, not cowardice. What an amazing thought process. Thinking about those moments when life changes our priorities. We can hear, even in Paul, who has always been urgent in his teaching and his pushing forward in the sharing and the preaching and the teaching of the gospel, always been pushing, but now he's pushing even more when we understand the situation. When he could be sitting back lamenting his demise, he could be sitting back lamenting the fact that Timothy is struggling under persecution as a leader of the church in Ephesus. He could be sitting back going, well, we did our best. No. He's saying, stand up, Timothy, with power and strength, not cowardice. In this moment, even Paul has ramped up his faithful living, if that were even possible. We this past week, have seen things that we haven't seen sometimes ever. And sometimes those things were just simply our neighbors, amen? I wave at mine as I come and go from the driveway. A couple of them will stand and talk from time to time. Some of them, not so much. But this week, there they were. Not just talking, but working side by side, helping one another. Our neighbors found out what's happening in the narthex out here with all the stuff we're collecting to take down to our brothers and sisters south of us in need. Started filling my garage. This is the presence of God when our priorities are shifted to seeing the presence of God. Amen. We faced a potential catastrophic storm here, and we are sitting here today feeling rather joyful and horrified simultaneously. We were spared. But the problem with living in Southwest Florida, when a hurricane hits Southwest Florida, somebody is always spared and someone else is always suffering. And God calls us to faithful living. Paul reminds us faithful living. Bold, faithful living, not cowardice. We live boldly when we do simple things and when we do big things. The simple thing being helping our neighbor and loving our neighbor in a time when they have a need. Fence came down between my house and my neighbor's house. We wave when I get a chance. You know, some folks just come in, pull in the garage, close the door. Every once in a while, I catch them going to the mailbox. He's like, oh yeah, the crazy guy next door is waving at me. We've talked some. But when I went over to his yard to put my fence back up, I noticed his back fence had fallen. And I just go back to my garage with my tools and I'm putting them back and I'm like, he's in the driveway of his house sweeping. And I come over, I said, would you like me to help you put your fence back up? He's like, oh, that would be wonderful. Now, that was not my immediate thought. And I thought, yeah, let me help him with his fence. Then a colleague texts me and goes, how are you all doing? I said, I'm mending fences. Opportunity to see God, amen? We see it everywhere. We will continue to see it as long as we hold on to our priority. I spoke with someone else yesterday afternoon and go, I was just very disappointed in how Chico responded, and I'm thinking, I'm just grateful they did. Amen? I mean, we forget Chico, by the way, is run by people who have families that live here that were also affected by a storm. So thanks be to God, the people who give their lives to the fullness of caring for others, even if they are keeping the power going or keeping the sewage flowing, amen? We're grateful. But see how quickly we can go from, thank God we didn't get hit by the storm, to why is my power still off? Really? When your house is still standing? What if we got a hold of that? That urgency that we felt leading up to it, that urgency we felt immediately following, and we went out into the world and loved our neighbor as ourselves, we can hold on to that urgency. Paul tells us to. He's telling Timothy to do the same thing. Hold on to that. Rekindle it, he is saying. The gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. He's saying, get out there. You may lose your life, brother, but go out there and preach this gospel that's been entrusted to you anyway. This coming from the man who is in jail, chained, and going to lose his life for the gospel. We hear that urgency, and that urgency, brothers and sisters, we should feel it. That message is for us. And Paul's saying, but I'm not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Do you know what Paul entrusted to God? He knows God. And you know what he entrusted to him? Everything. Every meal he ate, every thread of clothing, every step he took, every time he opened his mouth, knowing full well that he would be facing opposition, he gave everything to God. He entrusted all of it to him. And he sits unashamed, because undoubtedly someone was saying, well, look, you trusted your God and you're in jail. And you're going to die. So tell me where your God is now. And Paul says, I know my God. And I know where my God is. And as I was reading this week, in the midst of all that we're in the middle of, I had to stop and ask myself, would Paul write me a letter like this? Am I even worthy of a letter like this? Would he even waste his time and his energy to write me a letter to say, hold on, rekindle? Do I even have that in me? To the point where Paul would reach back and say, Brian, keep going, keep doing, keep loving, keep preaching, keep teaching. The gospel is what matters over all things. And then we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, as the church today, as he's writing to the church in Ephesus in that first century and saying, hold strong, I know they're coming down on you. Do we hear the message as urgently as Timothy would have heard it and gotten up and walked into the fray? When we sit in our homes and we are comfortable and we are safe and we are wondering, oh, well. And don't be offended if you're online today, out of necessity, but if you're online today because there was a hurricane, it was a good excuse not to come. We got to think about this a little bit, brothers and sisters. What matters? I have a lot of conversations with people who have finally come to the place of thinking, whoa, I'm feeling rather urgent about my faith. 11 years as a priest, not sure how many times it's happened, but I can tell you this, every single time I know when it happened, when people were facing death. That's when we start to wonder. Paul's facing death. He's not wondering about his faith. He knows God. He knows who he is entrusted with, everything that he is and everything that he has. He knows. But aren't we all facing that same day? I suspect Paul heard the wonderful words when he stood before Christ and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. We ourselves as Christians are called to know and understand this same thing that Paul is saying. We are called to move and live it today, maybe like we've been living the last few days. In the midst of that urgency, that urgency is real every day. And when we don't feel it as Christians, we are not paying attention to what God is saying. When we weigh what we want to what God's calling us to and what we want wins, the urgency fades. We can sit on our hands and wait, or we can get on our feet and love. We've been entrusted just as Paul was. And he reminds Timothy in verse 14, guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. He doesn't say, make sure you do just enough to feel okay with God. He says, you've been entrusted. with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep moving faithfully. That message is for us. I'm not sure what more we're going to need, church. If you haven't come to a place of urgency in your faith in the last 3 years, what will it take? If you haven't sensed an urgency in your faith in the last 3 days, what will it take? If you are not hearing the call of God, what are you hearing? If you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? Because he is very clear. Very clear. You have been entrusted with the good treasure. The good treasure is the faith in Jesus Christ. Entrusted not to hoard, but to pour out. He didn't tell Timothy, your grandma, your mom, you're faithful like they are, just grab your faith and run for the hills. No. No. He said, don't be a coward. You didn't inherit a spirit of cowardice. But rather a spirit of power and of love. We have inherited the same. And we may say, well, I'm not a coward. But I personally have to wonder, am I complacent, waiting for a day when the call from God feels more urgent? The urgency is now. As Christians, we are called, as Paul was, to make following Christ our number one priority. The urgency in Paul's message is for us too. Will we join the battle and find peace with God? Or will we, in the days when we come to the end of this life, wonder, as Paul didn't, will I hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, the ones I entrusted with this treasure? I don't think Paul wondered or worried about it. Do I believe the church today can hear that same statement from our Savior when we stand before him? I believe we will. When we guard good treasure entrusted to us, when we hear the urgency every day, not just in the face of disaster or death, but today, that's when we will hear those words, or we won't.